Okay, so we're going to begin tonight a discussion of various halachos of Sfiras HaOmer. And I figured that an appropriate topic to start with is whether women are obligated in the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. So the introduction to this topic really begins from the Torah itself, where in Parshas Emor, Vayikra Chav Gimel, the Torah commands us to count 7 full weeks, Usfartem Lachem Mimachas HaShabos Miyom Haviyachem Esomer HaTnufa, Sheva Shabbosos Temimos Tehiyena. We're supposed to count 7 full weeks, beginning from the second day of Pesach, the day on which we offer the Korban HaOmer. The Korban HaOmer was a barley offering that consisted of the first grains of the harvesting season. And what you notice in that pasuk is that the Torah links Sfiras HaOmer to 2 different things. On the one hand, it tells us to count Mimachras HaShabbos, which means from the second day of Pesach, the day after the first day of Pesach. And on the other hand, it tells us to count Miyom Haviachem Esomer Atnufa, from the day that you bring the Korban HaOmer. Now, those coincide. They happen on the same day. You bring the Korban HaOmer on the second day of Pesach. But as we're going to see in just a moment, which one of those you emphasize may actually lead to a very, very important important consequence for us, Bizman HaZeh, nowadays. So what am I referring to? So here's the question for us. Does the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer remain a mitzvah de oraisa even Bizman HaZeh, even today? Certainly, during the times of the Beis HaMikdash, Sfiras HaOmer was a full-fledged biblical mitzvah. Hashem told us in the Torah to count the Sfira. But on the one hand, the Torah links Sfiras HaOmer, as I just said, to the Korban HaOmer, to the bringing of that barley offering. Do we do that nowadays? We don't do that anymore because we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. On the other hand, the Torah links Sfiras HaOmer to the time period of Machras HaShabbos, the second day of Pesach, and that day, that date, still exists Bizman HaZeh. So whichever one of those you emphasize might dictate whether the mitzvah remains a mitzvah d'oraisa or is now only a mitzvah d'rabbana. If the trigger of the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer is the offering of the Korban HaOmer, then nowadays when we don't have the Korban HaOmer, we lack the trigger for the Sfira, and therefore the Sfira would be rendered a mitzvah d'rabbana. However, if the trigger for the mitzvah is not the offering of the Korban, but rather the arrival of the date of the 16th of Nisan, the second day of Pesach, well, then that we have very well nowadays. And therefore, the mitzvah would remain a mitzvah d'oraisa. What evidence do we have as to whether the mitzvah remains a mitzvah d'oraisa or a mitzvah d'rabbanan bizman hazeh? So the Gemara in Menachos, Tach Samach Vav Amad Aleph, records a debate between the Amoraim, Amemar and Rabbanan de Beirav Ashi. Rabbanan de Beirav Ashi tell us that nowadays we're supposed to count both the days and the weeks, exactly as we do. However, Amemar was of a different opinion. Amemar held that nowadays we should count only the days and not the weeks of Sfiras HaOmer. And Amemar explained that the reason for his opinion is because Sfiras HaOmer is now Zecher LeMikdash. It's a commemoration of what used to happen during the times of the Mikdash. And in order to distinguish between the authentic mitzvah de Oraisa and the commemorative mitzvah de Rabbanan, Amemar says that we should take away a little bit of the mitzvah. So whereas during the times of the Beis HaMikdash we counted both the days and the weeks, nowadays we count only the days. So according to Amemar, the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer is certainly a mitzvah de Rabbanan. That's why we count only the days. However, Rabbanan de Beirav Ashi accord with our contemporary practice that we count both the days and the weeks, and that could be for one of 2 reasons. It could be that they agree with Amemar that the mitzvah is de Rabbanan. The only disagreement they have is that you shouldn't take away from the mitzvah. Just because the mitzvah is derabanan shouldn't mean that it should look different from the mitzvah d'oraisa. So just as the mitzvah d'oraisa has both days and weeks, the mitzvah derabanan should mirror the mitzvah d'oraisa and should also have days and weeks. But according to that line of thinking, according to that logic, both of the Amoraim would agree that the mitzvah nowadays is only a mitzvah derabanan or rabbinic commandment. Another way of parsing out the debate between Amemar and Rabbanan to be Rav Ashi is to say that they are arguing the status of the mitzvah. According to Amemar, it's a mitzvah derabanan, and therefore we omit the weeks. Whereas according to Rabbanan to be Rav Ashi, it's a mitzvah deoraisa even nowadays. And therefore, we have to do the whole thing. We do both the days and the weeks. So essentially, what this all boils down to is we have one position that certainly says it's a mitzvah derabanan, and another position that says that could be it's a mitzvah derabanan and could be it's a mitzvah deoraisa. How do we paskin? So this was a debate between the Rishonim. The Ran in Maseches Psachim, in Chav Chesam and Aleph in the Dapi Arif, says that almost all of the Mefarshim, all of the commentators, agree that the mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer nowadays is a mitzvah derabanan, a rabbinic commandment. The Rambam in Hilchos Tmidin Musaf in Perek Zayin, Halacha Chav Dalet, disagrees with the Ran. And the Rambam holds that the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer is a mitzvah deoraisa, even bizman hazeh. So we have a machlokes. On the one hand, the Rambam rules that it's a mitzvah deoraisa. The Ran and most other Rishonim rule that it's a mitzvah derabanan. How do we paskin halacha lemaisa? So fundamentally, we rule in accordance with the Ran. We assume nowadays that the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer is a derabanan. In a few circumstances, we might hedge ourselves. We might be concerned for the position that it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. But fundamentally, we hold that it is a mitzvah d'rabban. What is the nekudas hamachlokas? What's the root of the dispute between the Rishonim as to whether it remains a mitzvah d'oraisa nowadays or it's a mitzvah d'rabbanan? So we said this earlier, I'll repeat once more, that according to the Rambam, one way of explaining the Rambam, that it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, is to say that for the Rambam, the trigger of the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer is the date. It's the time. It's the 16th of Nisan. That still exists. So therefore, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. According to the Ran and the other Rishonim and the way that we paskin, the trigger of the mitzvah is not the date, but rather the offering of the Korban HaOmer. Since we no longer offer the Korban HaOmer, therefore the mitzvah is now a mitzvah derabbana. That is the introduction to the status of the mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer Bizman Hazeh, and we're going to see that this may play a very big role, a pivotal role, in our next question, which is, are women obligated to count Sfiras HaOmer? So, in truth, this was, it seems like, a debate between the Rishonim. The Rambam rules very explicitly that women are exempt from the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. Why would women be exempt from the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer? So the logic seems to be very obvious. The Kesef Mishnah explains that based on the Mishnah in Kiddushin, that kol mitzvah sase she'azman grama nashim peturos, women are exempt from all time-bound mitzvos. So therefore, says the Rambam, they're exempt from the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. After all, could we draw up a mitzvah that is more dependent on time than the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer? The mitzvah is to count time. What could be more dependent on time? So says the Kesef Mishnah for the Rambam, this is a classical example of a mitzvah saseh she'azman grama, and therefore women are exempt. However, comes along the Ramban in his commentary on Kiddushin Daf Lamed Gimel Amid Beis, and the Ramban has a wild chiddush, a novel approach that women are indeed obligated in the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. And the question for us is going to be how to explain this position of the Ramban. Didn't we just say that the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer is certainly a time-bound mitzvah? The Ramban certainly agrees to the principle of mitzvah saseh she'azman grama nashim peturos. That's in the Mishnah. We can't mess around with that. So what's going to be the explanation for the Ramban? So before going into a number of explanations, I should note that according to some, and Rav Soloveitchik apparently held this as well, some think that that we could end the shiur right here, and that really there was a ta'u sofer in the Ramban. That the Ramban didn't really mean Sfiras HaOmer, maybe he had a Rashi Tevos, maybe he had an abbreviation, and he wrote Samich Ayin, or something like that, and the editors thought that he meant Sfiras HaOmer, but he didn't really mean Sfiras HaOmer. Some take that approach, in which case we could end the shiur right now and everybody would agree that women are exempt from the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. However, others assumed that the Ramban meant, as we see the text, that the Ramban indeed meant that women are obligated in the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, and the question is why. So I'd like to explore two or three approaches together with you before getting to the Halacha Lamaisa and how we paskin. The Avnei Nezer, the Sacher Chavar Rebbe, in Simen Shin Pei Dalet in Orach Chaim, has an interesting explanation, where he argues that the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer can be categorized as a mitzvah of the holiday of Pesach. And just as women are obligated in the other mitzvos of Pesach, like eating the Korban Pesach, eating matzah, eating maror, Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, according to the Sefer Achinuch, we can throw in Dalet Kosos that we learned about a few weeks ago. Women are obligated in the mitzvos of Pesach. So says the Avnei Nezer, Sfiras HaOmer is also a mitzvah of Pesach, and therefore women would be obligated in Sfiras HaOmer according to the Ramban. Now, as an aside, this is an interesting comment of the Avnei Nezer, a chiddush, and it actually is something like it, if not the same thing, is used earlier in the Rishonim by the Shibolei HaLeket, who was Rab Tzidkia ben Rab Avraham Harofe, who lived in the 1200s in Italy. He wrote a sefer known as the Shibolei HaLeket, and he addresses a very fascinating question that's addressed by many other Rishonim, which is, why is it that we do not make a bracha of Sheheche Yonu on the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer? You come to the second night of Pesach, you say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Asher Kedushanu Mitzvos HaVetzivanu al Sfiras HaOmer, we count? Don't say any Shechianu afterwards. Why not? Say Shechianu on Shofar, say Shechianu on Lulav, say Shechianu on Sukkah, say Shechianu on lots of other mitzvos. Why no Shechianu on Sfiras HaOmer? Explains the Shibolei HaLeket that Sfiras HaOmer is already covered by the Shechianu that we said for the holiday of Pesach. When women light candles on the first night of Pesach, and the second night for that matter, they say a Shechianu. When we make Kiddush at the Seder, we say a Shechianu. Why do we say a Shechianu? Say a Shechianu for the arrival of the Kedushas Hazman of Pesach, that the holiday of Pesach has arrived. Says the Shibolei HaLeket, Sfiras HaOmer is a mitzvah of the holiday of Pesach. And therefore, there's no Shechianu because it's already covered by the Shechianu that you made during Kiddush or during Neros. So that's very similar to what the Avnei Nezer here is saying, that there's no Shechianu on Sfiras HaOmer. I'm sorry, that women are obligated according to the Ramban in Sfiras HaOmer because it's a mitzvah of the holiday of Pesach. That's approach number one. Approach number two of the Sri De'esh, Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, 1900s in Germany. Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg argues something very fascinating as well, that the principle of mitzvah saseisha azman grama noshim peturos, that women are exempt from time-bound mitzvos, applies to mitzvos, and pay very careful attention here, this is a bit nuanced, and he says so himself actually, he says hadvarim amukim or something like that. He says that it applies to mitzvos to which time is external. So I'll give you an example. Women are exempt from the mitzvah of shofar, exempt from the mitzvah of lulav. Why? Because those mitzvos need to be done on a certain date. Shofar is done on the first day of Tishrei, lulav is done on the 15th day of Tishrei. But is time internal to the mitzvah? No, it's not a mitzvah of time. The mitzvah of shofar is to blow a ram's horn. The mitzvah of lulav is to shake a branch. It's not a mitzvah of time. It's a mitzvah that is circumscribed by time, we could say. That's a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. It says, Rabbi Chiel Yaakov Weinberg, when you have a mitzvah to which time is internal, the mitzvah itself is to confront, deal, and count with time. That's not an example of a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. Doesn't fall in the category. And therefore, says the Ramban, women are obligated. Approach number two. Now, approach number three, which is probably the most basic approach, and the one that's taken by some of the Rishonim, including the Maharam Chalava, who was Rab Moshe ben Rab David Chalava, lived in the 1300s in Spain, explains that the reason why the Ramban thinks that Sfiras HaOmer is not a mitzvah saseh shazman grama is because it's not dependent on time. Let's think back to the first half of this year. One of the approaches to the trigger, that was the word that I used, for the mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer, was that the trigger is what? Not the date of the 16th of Nisan, but the offering of the Korban HaOmer. So says the Maharam Chalava, the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer is not really dependent on time. It's dependent on the implementation, the execution of the Korban HaOmer. That's an action. That's not time. So says the Maharam Chalava, the mitzvah of Sfiras is dependent on an action. Therefore, it's not a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. And therefore, women would be obligated. So would say the Ramban. Now, if this is the case, then the two halves of our shir are intrinsically linked. Because if this is true, then the Ramban would be saying that the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer is dependent on giving the offering the Korban HaOmer. That's what we said in the first half, was the assumption of the opinion that the mitzvah is nowadays a mitzvah derabbanan. The Rambam, who says that women are exempt from the mitzvah, would say that the trigger of the mitzvah is what? Not the offering of the Omer, but rather the arrival of the date. And the same Rambam says that the mitzvah is a mitzvah d'oraisa bizman hazeh, because he follows the trigger of the time period, not the Korban HaOmer. So all of the shitos, and this Rav Yerucham Fishel Perla points out, they all line up. It's what we call a lishitasam. On the one hand, the Rambam thinks that the trigger for the mitzvah is the date. That comes with a chumrah and a kula. The chumrah is that it remains a mitzvah d'oraisa nowadays, because we still have the date. The kula is that women are going to be exempt because it's a mitzvah saseh shazman grama that's dependent on the date of the 16th of Nisan. On the other hand, the Ramban would say that the trigger of the mitzvah is not the date, but the offering of the korban. That comes with a chumrah and a kula. The chumrah is that women are obligated because it's not dependent on time, it's dependent on an action. But the kula is that it's a mitzvah derabana, because we no longer offer the Korban HaOmer. So the Ramban and the Rambam would be going lishitasam in the way that they paskin on these two questions. Number one, is the mitzvah d'oraisa d'rabbanan? And number two, are women obligated or exempt? Clear to everybody? Feel free to ask a question. Okay. So halacha lemaisa, how are we going to paskin? Are women obligated or exempt in the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer? So the Magen Avraham in Tav Pei Tes, which is the Simen and Orach Chaim of Sfiras HaOmer, and the Mishneh Berurah follows the Magen Avraham in Tav Pei Tes Sev Gimel, both assert very clearly and unequivocally that women are exempt from the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, because the overwhelming understanding of the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer is that it is a mitzvah saseh shehazman grama. So the Magen Avraham and the Mishneh Berurah both assume that women are indeed exempt from the mitzvah, and that is how we paskin. Now, are there any qualifications on that psak? So first of all, we should point out that the Magen Avraham has an interesting line. The Magen Avraham there in Tav Pei Tes says that although women are fundamentally exempt from the mitzvah, they have accepted it upon themselves. Meaning the women of Klal Yisrael in his time and beforehand had accepted upon themselves the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer like an obligation. If that's the case, well then nowadays women would certainly have to count, because once we accept something upon ourselves like an obligation, then we are obligated to follow it. A parallel would be the tefillah of Ma'ariv for men. The Gemara says that tefillas arvis reshus, but the Rishonim point out that kvar kiblu alayhu kechova, we already accepted it upon ourselves like an obligation. So if someone asks you, is a man obligated to daven ma'ariv? The answer is absolutely yes. Aye, the Gemara says Tefillas Arvis Rishos. Pull out your Bekiyas from the Gemara in Brachos. Okay, that's true. But now we accepted it upon ourselves like a chova. So if the Magid Avram is right, that women accepted upon themselves Sfiras HaOmer like an obligation, then they would actually be obligated to do so. However, not everybody agreed with the Magid Avram. First of all, the Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Shin Vav was not sure that this is even possible. He didn't think that women could obligate themselves in the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. And the Sefer Nezirus Shimshon, I saw quoted in the Dirshu Mishneh Brura, this is Rab Shimshon Bloch of Hamburg, Germany, in the 1700s. He explains that there's a fundamental difference between Mariv and Sfiras HaOmer. When it comes to Mariv, there are opinions that men are obligated in Mariv even to begin with, fundamentally. So, okay, so even though we pass in Tefillas Arvis Rishus, men can come along and say, we're accepting upon ourselves Mariv as an obligation. But nobody would hold, obviously other than the Ramban, we're considering the Ramban out of the equation for now, nobody would hold that women are obligated in the mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer, because everybody seems to agree that the mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer is a mitzvah Sase Shazman Grama. So you can't take something that is fundamentally an exemption and turn it into an obligation. That you can't do. So that's one one challenge to the Magen Avraham. And others point out that it's not so clear that he's correct in the Metzias. They didn't see in their communities that women accepted upon themselves this obligation of Sfiras HaOmer. So Lamaisa, it seems that we don't accept that line in the Magen Avraham, that women were Shavuhu Alayu Kechova, that they accepted this as an obligation. We do accept the line in the Magen Avraham that women are fundamentally exempt from the mitzvah. But then we have to discuss the last point, which is another significant point, which is that we know from other areas of halacha that just because women are exempt from mitzvah Saseh Shazman Grama doesn't mean that they cannot fulfill the mitzvah. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Taf Kuf Pei Tes, that if a woman would like to fulfill the mitzvah of Tekiyah Shofar, she very well may. And indeed, there's a machlokas between the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, and this was earlier between the Rambam and Rabbi Nutam, whether a woman who fulfills a mitzvah Saseh Shazman Grama, like Shofar or Lulav, may even make a bracha and say, Asher kidishanu b'mitzvosav vitzivanu, al metilas lulav, or the Shema Kol Shofar. The Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, and this is the practice of Sfardim, hold that a woman does not make a bracha on a mitzvah Saseh Shazman Grama. But Ashkenazim, following the practice of Rabbi Nutam and the Ramah, hold that women do make a bracha on a mitzvah Saseh Shazman Grama. So, if a woman would like to fulfill the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, she is certainly allowed to, and that would be a kiyum hamitzvah. And it would seem that according to the Ramah, she could also make a bracha on the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. However, whether women should make a bracha on Sfiras HaOmer is actually subject to a little bit more controversy before we get to the final conclusion. Because the Mishneh Brura in Simin Tav Pei Tes, and that Simin in Shulchan Aruch and Sfiras HaOmer, says that it actually, even though for other mitzvot Saseh Shazman Grama women can make a bracha like Shofar and Lulav, when it comes to Sfiras HaOmer, they should do the mitzvah without saying a bracha. I asked of Schechter this week if this was the appropriate practice, and he told me that he thinks that the practice is, and that this is comes from, in our yeshiva, from Rav Soloveitchik, that women do make a bracha on Sfiras HaOmer. And I saw in the name of other achronim also, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, that it would be, that women should make a bracha on Sfiras HaOmer. Now, what's the whole debate? Whether women should make a bracha or not make a bracha. I don't understand. If women make a bracha on Shofar, on Lulav, on other mitzvot Saseh Shazman Grama, why should Sfiras HaOmer be different? So the Mishneh Brura is concerned that one is going to forget to count one of the days of the Sfira. And his assumption is that once one forgets to count one of the days of the Sfira, then they have no longer fulfilled the mitzvah. The source for this goes all the way back to the Sefer Halachos Gedolos to the Bahag. The Bahag was of the opinion that one has to count all 49 days of Sfira. And if they miss one of the days, done. You can't continue anymore. And we actually paskin like the Bahag, and therefore we say that once one has missed the day of the Sfira, they continue to count only without a bracha. But the question is, when the Bahag said that we have to count all 49 days, what did he really mean? Did he mean that you fulfill the mitzvah of Sfira only if you actually count every single one of the 49 days? Or did he mean that there are really two concepts going on here? That on the one hand, there's a mitzvah to count each and every day. Every individual day is a fulfillment of a mitzvah. And then there's an additional fulfillment to have done the entire set, all 49. Rav Schachter explained that that's exactly the debate between the Mishneh Berurah and what he quoted in the name of Rav Soloveitchik. According to the Mishneh Berurah, the Bahag really holds that once one has missed one day, they haven't fulfilled the mitzvah at all. And therefore, says the Mishneh Berurah, since there's a risk that we're going to miss a day, and women are not even obligated to begin with, they shouldn't say the bracha. Because what's going to happen if they miss a day? They're going to end up not having fulfilled the mitzvah, and all of the brachos that they made up until the time that they forgot to count the day might turn into brachos levatola. However, says of Soloveitchik that the interpretation of the Bahag is incorrect. Says of Soloveitchik that no, if I every day that I count is a mitzvah. If I also end up counting all 49, which I should certainly try to do, then I've fulfilled an additional aspect of the mitzvah. But don't tell me that I haven't fulfilled a mitzvah for every day that I count. So even if one ends up forgetting a day, all of the days that they counted prior to that would still count as a mitzvah, and therefore there's no risk whatsoever for a woman to make a bracha on Sfiras HaOmer. How would we paskin halacha lamaisa? So I think Rav Schachter paskin and Ari Yeshiva and many other poskim say as well that women should make a bracha on Sfiras HaOmer. At least, you know, in my understanding, that seems to be the minog. And Rav Al-Yashiv, I saw quoted in the Dirshu Mishneh Berurah, also points out that if we're dealing with women who are scrupulous in their keeping of, in their observing of halacha, then there's nothing to worry about. So absolutely they should make a bracha, because, you know, just as men are men are obligated to be scrupulous about Sfiras HaOmer, so too women should treat themselves and act the same way. And that would be sufficient. So, Lamaisa, we can make a bracha on Sfiras HaOmer as a kiyum ha-mitzvah. It's not an obligation, it's a fulfillment, because in truth, there's an exemption based on mitzvah saseh shehazman grama. And if one chooses to fulfill the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer and in so doing make brachos on the Sfiras HaOmer, we should put into place some, you know, reminder mechanisms to make sure that we fulfill the mitzvah every day, count all of the days. You know, change your watch to your other hand, put on a reminder on your phone, whatever it is. But it's always good to have a reminder so that we fulfill the mitzvah in its entirety for all 49 days. So as we saw tonight, the question of whether women are obligated in the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, and also whether they should make a bracha on the mitzvah if they choose to do so, really touches on some core issues in the mitzvah. Is the mitzvah d'oraisa or d'rabbanan? What's the nature of the mitzvah? Is it dependent on the offering of the korban haomer, or is it linked to the time period of the second day of Pesach? And what about the 49 days? Are those one unit? And if you miss anything from the entire unit, you don't have any. You've lost everything. Or are there 49 independent mitzvos of counting that all come together to form a unit? Just to end off, the Ramban al Torah describes Sfiras HaOmer as a chol hamoed between Pesach and Shavuos. Sfiras HaOmer is our bridge. It's a bridge that carries us from the freedom, from slavery of Yetzias Mitzrayim, from physical chayrus, to the spiritual freedom of Matan Torah, to a chayrus that's ruchni, to ein ben chorin elamisha osik batorah, the Mishnah on Avo says. A true free person is one who has the ability to grow without restriction within the confines of Torah, of Taryag Mitzvos, of Avodas Hashem. Sfiras HaOmer is our way of climbing the ladder from Pesach to Shavuos, counting each and every one of the 49 days corresponding to the 49 levels of Tumah that we were in Yetzias Mitzrayim. We shed each of those levels of Tumah as we purify ourselves in advance of Zman Matan Torosenu, Chag HaShavuos. So as we experience this bridge, let us use this time to grow continually, consistently in our Avodas Hashem and prepare ourselves in the best way possible to receive the Torah in just a couple of weeks. Wish you all a great rest of the week. Looking forward to continuing all the way up until finals or whenever you guys would like to go. Have a good night.